free agency coming up for you as well. Have you thought about it at all?
Of course you think about it. You don't know where you're going to live the next few years. You know, it's one of those things that everything's uncertain. But the only thing I control is playing football and trying to give Miss Elway a good reason to keep me. And that's what I've been trying to do, just work my butt off. And that's it. That's all I can do. So, yeah.
You're talking to Jacksonville right now, so just keep it in mind here in a couple months when free agency opens up. Just keep the Jaguars in mind.
Hey, man, you know, anything is business, man. If that's my new home, that's my new home. But I definitely keep my home for you. For you. For you.
I appreciate it, Malik.
And again, Ivory sidestepping, stays on his feet. Ivory breaks another tackle. Chris Ivory, what a run! Touchdown, Jets! Take the pitch. Penny spun down. Malik Jackson.
Well, he had the big pass deflection in the first half where he prevented a touchdown. And here, watch the strength of Jackson as Henny gets grabbed by the right arm and has to go down.
And now Chris Ivory's in there on first down. They've been going with Steven Ritter. Ivory. Chris Ivory! Working the speed down the sideline, and he's out of bounds. Ferguson and Mangold, the veterans up front, creating space for Ivory. He's over 1,000 yards for the first time in his NFL career. On third and long, Henny in trouble. Henny is dumped. Malik Jackson, he just owned that possession defensively for Denver.
Well, Newton faced some pressure here. Our four-man rush. Newton in the pocket. He's hit and sacked inside the five. The ball is free. Denver's got it. Touchdown, Denver. Malik Jackson got the ball. Von Miller with the sack.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It is the day to start reshaping the Jaguars roster for the 2016 season. The opening of free agency less than 6 hours away. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union. Fat Tony, who sweet-talked Malik Jackson.
I got to go talk to Dave and Malik about that half of 1%. After seeing the $90 million, I was like, I'm more in for that half of 1% than
I ever
was.
I'd like a half of 1% of your half of 1%, please. I don't know what that would be, but it would be a nice... It would buy me lunch, I bet you.
No doubt.
So Malik Jackson, come on down. They weren't going to wait around. They weren't going to mess around. They got that deal done. Apparently agreed to 6 years, $90 million. Chris Ivory, what are the numbers on Chris Ivory, Ryan, in terms of average salary?
Six.
See, in that, I agree with you. That surprised me. Chris Ivory was the guy I thought they should be targeting all along at running back. I've talked about this for the last couple of weeks because he makes sense, I think, as a complimentary piece to T.J. Yeldon. When you see Doug Martin's going to get 6.85 as an average in Tampa, I think Doug Martin's a better player than Chris Ivory.
Feels like
spent the extra $1 million and gotten the better guy.
It feels like the Jaguars set the market on the running backs because once that got out, the other guys, the Ducks fell in a row a little bit, like with Miller being connected to Houston at like 6.5. So, I mean, Ivory, only seven guys in this league rushed for 1,000 yards last
year. Right. I think he's a good player.
But they need to shore up that offensive line. And, you know, 24 hours from now, we may be saying, hey, that was a great pickup at guard. Now Brandon Lynn is your center. A lot can happen the next day. But I think those are the couple of key areas. You know, you got those two guys in the fold, but I think you need to strive a little bit to get some impact difference makers.
Are there any great pickups at guard out there, you know, now that Osemele's off the board?
Yeah, that's where I thought they painted themselves into a corner a little bit by publicly talking about how they feel okay with Brandon Linder at center. Well, you know, hopefully in the next couple of days we'll find out if they even so much as kick the tire on Alex Mack. You don't see Alex Mack really connected with anybody except for Atlanta right now. So, I mean, the Swayze thing was out there. Maybe they'll see if that happens. But, you know, it's Osemele. The reason we saw the reason why the Jags weren't in that hunt is he's getting left tackle money to potentially play guard. You know, probably kick outside the penalty with Donald Penn.
Because he can do both.
But so it's you know, like we're saying in the crosstalk there, is if they don't get Vernon, then they are sort of forced to scramble a little bit for pass rushers.
Yeah, I don't know if it's – I don't think it's better that if the transition tag had been left on. I think the Jags are going to get Olivier Vernon. They're going to set the market for him anyway. I think they still have, you know, tons of money to spend. I think this is the guy they want, even more so than Malik Jackson. And I think you're going to get a contract in the Malik Jackson range offered, at least to Olivier Vernon, I would think, because – you know, you talk about what's more important. I don't know, to be honest with you. Is a guy who's going to create pressure up the middle and therefore maybe open up the ends for other guys and not put up the stats, you know, like Cedric Marks did a couple of years ago. You look back at that contract Cedric Marks signed. Was Cedric Marks 2 years ago any less the player than Malik Jackson was this year for the Denver Broncos? Cedric was phenomenal 2 years ago for the Jags. He was team MVP. And they got him on such a bargain deal now in retrospect when you look back at what he's making this year. How much of this signing, does it reflect at all any concern level, do you think, with the health or the return to full health of Cedric Marks?
I asked that internally last week, and I got the cancer get out of here type thing. You know, not Cedric's going to be fine. Yeah, it's not the same body part. But how can it not be? I mean, it's a, you know, this is a guy with Cedric. The reason he was good is he was strong and explosive. Well, that's a knee and an upper body. So, I mean, it's an expensive insurance policy. I'd be interested to see how they split those snaps. But they also wanted to get better with their interior pass rush, which without Marks didn't do anything. Now they feel like they can have two components in the middle on third down. Can I circle back on Vernon real quick?
Yeah.
I think on the transition tag, I ran this by somebody in the Jaguars last week, and they sort of agreed. If he was under the tag, a lot of teams would have bowed out because they didn't have the time or money to wait. And so the Jags could have constructed a deal that had a big year one cap number that a lot of teams could match, and also they could have signed Vernon to the offer sheet and conducted their other business, saying, "Okay, if we get him, great. If not, we'll go back on and get somebody else."
Yeah, maybe, and that's, I can understand that point of view certainly, but I think look at the market for pass rushers right now. JPP is off the board,
yep.
Right? Mario Williams is off the board. Aren't that many guys you could sit back and wait on and wait and see, all right, if it works, I'll fall back to my other plan. I mean, there are only so many William Hayes's running around out there. All of a sudden, William Hayes is becoming a thing that is going to be in high demand, I think, over the next couple of days.
You know what should become a thing? Josh Norman.
And no way. Not giving up two first-round picks. So
it's going to be the 5th and the 32nd.
So I'm still not giving up two first-round picks and paying the kind of money that it's going to take to sign Josh Norman. Thank you very much. I'll go sign Sean Smith and keep those two first-round picks over the next couple of years, and I'll be quite content to go that route. We'll talk about that today. Do they go corner? Do they find another linebacker out there? Do they sign an offensive lineman? Is Olivier Vernon – well, he's on everybody's short list, right? He's the list for most people out there who are Jaguar fans. Our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day asks you, in addition to Malik Jackson and Chris Ivory, who we know the Jags have agreed to terms with both of those guys and they'll be inking later on today, who else will the Jags land on day one of free agency? Will it be Olivier Vernon? We know you want Olivier Vernon. Do you think they'll get him? And in addition to him, who else do you think they'll have signed by the end of today? So you can weigh in on that on social media, at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, and at 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Coming up, we're going to talk with Mike Kliss of the Denver Post. We're going to talk with Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN's NFL Nation. We'll get the lowdown on what kind of players the Jags are getting in Malik Jackson and Chris Ivory. That's coming up. We'll take your calls later on as well if you'd like to get on board. What do you think about these signings, which look imminent now, obviously, unless something goes haywire with a physical or something at the last second. Those guys will be Jacksonville Jaguars later on today. Speaking of going haywire, you look at Miami. They had that deal, it appeared, to trade for Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso from Philadelphia, and now the Dolphins getting cold feet because they're concerned about Byron Maxwell's shoulder injury, which caused him to miss the last two games of last season. That deal, in some circles, described as dead. Others kind of on life support, so we'll see if that happens. So, but either way, they did rescind the transition tag, so that won't have any impact on the Jags' ability at least to pursue heavily the services of one Olivier Vernon. 641-1010, the phone number. It's also the text line if you want to weigh in in that regard as well. Coming up, Mike Kliss of the Denver Post giving us the lowdown on Malik Jackson, the newest defensive lineman of your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a Wednesday brought to you by our friends at Metro Rooter Jaguars today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010 XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Well, Newton faced some pressure here. About four-man rush. Newton in the pocket. He's hit and sacked inside the five. The ball is free. Denver's got it. Touchdown, Denver. Malik Jackson got the ball. Von Miller with the sack.
Reports coming out of Denver, Colorado. Nine News in Denver about 90 seconds ago is saying Malik Jackson is on his way to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, there you go, Hacker. Breaking news.
I can't believe this.
On the First Coast here. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today. And today they become Jaguars, including Malik Jackson. What was it about? Was it 6 weeks ago? How long ago was the Super Bowl, Tony?
About that, yeah.
About 6 weeks ago.
First week of February.
He was getting it done for the Denver Broncos, and now hopefully we'll be doing that for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Kliss joins us formerly of the Denver Post, now with 9news.com out in Denver. Mike, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Glad to be
here. Hey, Mike.
Glad to have you on board.
What's going on?
You're right again.
Well, Ryan, you're the one who tipped me off at the Super Bowl. You said the Broncos are in on them. We're going to be in, or the Jaguars were going to be in on Malik Jackson. And about 15 minutes later, I found out that you were right. Maybe more so than you even thought you were right.
Yeah.
But they went after him hard, and they got it done. Idzik and Jack Sharp got it done Monday night, and at least the framework of the deal Monday night. Of course, you have to be careful with all these tampering rules that aren't as strict as they used to be. So, yeah, Malik Jackson will be there. Will be a Jaguar at 2:01, I guess, or 4:01 your time. And then, you know, I'm sure there'll be a press conference tomorrow. The one thing that I've understood is the Jacksonville can't even make a plane arrangements till after the free agent market officially opens. So probably won't have a press conference there until tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting. You know, the little particulars of that, Mike. I'm not going to ask you if he's worth $90 million. We know guys get overpaid in free agency, but give us your opinion on what kind of player the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to sign today, Malik Jackson.
Well, he is an impact inside defensive tackle. He's a, you know, he does create havoc in the backfield. He will, you know, his pass deflections, he's become J.J. Watt-like with his ability to swat passes away. That's one thing. You do that with penetration. He can get to the quarterback. He does have good pass rush technique. And then this year he was also a mauler type in the run game. Malik is a nice guy. He's an interesting guy. He plays with the mean streak. He was drawing all kinds of unsportsmanlike, unnecessary roughness type penalties. That went on for about half a season. Between all the fines he got and Gary Kubiak stepping in and saying you got to stop that, he did curtail that. Although I think he got another one in the AFC Championship game. So he does play with a bit of reckless abandon. He has that type of tenacity and spirit that I think was infectious with the team. He and Aqib Talib, and you guys saw Aqib Talib lose it there for about a quarter in the Super Bowl. Those guys sometimes make dumb penalties, but I think overall it's good for the personality of the defense. And he's going to bring that to the team. He's a real good defensive tackle. You know, like you say, is he worth all that money? You know, you got him, and you're stronger today because of it. And the Denver Broncos are weaker today because they lost him.
Mike, in your story yesterday, you had an interesting line saying that in the 2014 season, maybe Jackson wasn't used to his strengths by Jack Del Rio, and then he sort of rebounded under Wade Phillips. Where's the sweet spot on how you would use him here with the Jaguars in a 4-3 scheme?
You got a 4-3 there?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Cancel the deal.
Yeah, I was going to say he's a 3-4 guy. I would use him as a 3-4 defensive end. That's where he flourished. That is his sweet spot, is the 3-4 mm-hmm. defensive end with the two ends crashing on the outside. So, but he's still what he did with the 4-3 his first 3 years here, he played defensive end in the base, and he went inside on the nickel situation. And the nickel situation is really where he made his money here. It's on the passing downs, and he does create that push up the middle in the pocket, and that's where, you know, when Tom Brady took his 23 hits in the AFC Championship game, where he got uncomfortable is, even though the sacks came from the outside, he got uncomfortable because he couldn't step up in the pocket, and that's where Malik Jackson comes in. Malik and Derek Wolfe both were terrific. You know, Malik is coming from a great defense. It's the best defense I've seen that the Broncos ever had. And, you know, people were talking about whether they were as good as the 2000 Ravens and 2002 Tampa Bay Bucks. He was surrounded by great players, and Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. They had good linebackers behind them. Derek Wolfe as his defensive partner inside. So it'll be interesting to see Malik branch out. He's ready to assume the role of star. He's ready to assume the role of defensive leader, and he's ready for the expectations. And that's what he's going to have there in Jacksonville. You never know how a guy's going to perform when they leave the comfort zone. But I think if Malik stays healthy, he's going to be a very good player for Jacksonville, and he'll be part of your transition there as you guys start to get better.
How badly did Denver want to hang on to Malik Jackson? I know it became a numbers crunch for them and just couldn't afford to keep him and figure out what they're going to do with Osweiler and the franchise tag on Von Miller. All of that led to Malik Jackson eventually becoming a free agent, but how badly did Denver want to keep a hold of him?
Well, they did. They did want to keep him. They tried to get a deal done before. They did initially make an offer during the season with about a month left to go in the season. They basically made an offer that Derek Wolfe signed late in the season. Wolfe got a 4-year, $37 million deal. I think they were offering Malik a little bit more than Derek Wolfe, but he turned that down. He thought he could get a lot more. Kudos to Jack Sharp, because he sure did get a lot more. And they tried again a couple weeks before free agency. But the Broncos were more around 11-12. One of the problems with being a Super Bowl team is you got a lot of good players. You got Von Miller tagged, and they're going to have to pay at least $18 million a year to get a deal done with Von Miller. Maybe $18.5 million, maybe $19 million, something just short of Sue. And then, they got Osweiler, who could get, we'll find out maybe today if Osweiler re-ups, and their initial offer was about $15 million a year. We'll see if the Broncos get to 17 to re-sign him. And then DeMarcus Ware, they're asking him to take a pay cut. It's hard. They got so many high-salaried players. What you find is you get what you pay for a lot of times in this league, and the Broncos had a lot of big salary players on their roster. They just didn't have the room. And so they tried to head Malik off. They knew other teams would offer more, but the Broncos were trying to sell the total package of Super Bowl winner, Bill Kolar, defensive line coach, the city, all the things that come with being a Super Bowl champion, notoriety, endorsements, that type of thing. But it wasn't enough to. In the end, it wasn't enough to sway the almighty dollar. And I also know, Malik liked the Jacksonville situation. If you look at it, guys, Blake Bortles and what you got going on offense there with your receivers and running backs now is a very exciting proposition for a free agent versus a Broncos team, even though they're the champs, they're in a quarterback transition now, and they'll probably go forward with a quarterback who only has seven career starts. And so going forward, it's, you know, I think Malik thinks Jacksonville has a chance to be has a chance, and obviously now he's a Jaguar. Jacksonville has a chance to surpass the Broncos going forward.
Mike Kliss, 9 News in Denver. Mike, other than Malik Jackson leaving, I guess slow news week out in the Mile High City, right? As Peyton Manning retires, I mean, I know you've alluded to Brock Osweiler's situation a couple of times here. What does your gut tell you? Will they get that done, or are they in serious danger of losing him to another bidder?
It's both. I think they'll get it done, but they'll get him done without knowing that there was some danger to losing him. The Broncos are worried about the Houston Texans. The expectation is the Texans will make an offer to Osweiler today, and the Broncos will have to bid accordingly. I do think at the end of the day, Osweiler does want to return to Denver. The Broncos will I can't see them not getting it done, because there isn't much of an appealing plan B. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I know he started to play pretty well with the Jets last year, but the guy's 33. He's been with six teams, I think, and is, you know, he's 43 and 60. And the next playoff game he starts will be his first. So, you know, then there's Colin Kaepernick available for trade, and he could fit, but he's not exactly trending upwards. So I think Osweiler is the quarterback the Broncos have to have, and it's hard to believe they won't reel him in by the end of the day.
We'll keep an eye on that as well. We'll keep an eye on that through the reporting of Mike Kliss. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Kliss, K-L-I-S, 9news.com.
Yeah, one last thing here with you, Mike, before we let you go. Who is the big-time free agent next year the Jags will be signing out of Denver? After Julius Thomas last year and Malik Jackson yesterday, so who is it next year?
Well, I tell you who it won't be. It won't be Brandon Marshall, because you guys already cut him.
And he's not interested in coming back.
Right. We're not bidding on that second round tender that they put on him either. So
No. But that's that was a stunning story. I guess you can, Ryan. I know you've dissected all the reasons why Jacksonville fell off the last few years, but player evaluation of your own players, I think would have to. There have to be a couple paragraphs on that, because Brandon Marshall's been a marvelous inside linebacker for the Broncos that apparently the previous regime didn't see happening. So, and then C.J. Anderson is the other, a running back, but it seems like you guys are okay at running back. So, yeah, I think you better hope three's the charm, so to speak, with the Bronco free agents and Malik Jackson. Yeah.
Well, we certainly will, Mike. We appreciate the insight and you joining us. I guess it's pretty early out there in the Mile High City. Come around 2 o'clock, as you said, your time. We'll hopefully see a pen on paper and Malik Jackson signing his official 6-year, $90 million deal with the Jaguars. Mike, thanks for the insight and the time this morning.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Kliss, 9 News out in Denver. And again, on Twitter, at Mike Kliss, and he's been all over this story from the Broncos side of things. Rich Cimini, same thing with the Jets, covering the Jets for ESPN's NFL Nation outfit. He'll join us next. What are we getting here in Jacksonville in the form of one Chris Ivory, who had his first 1,000-yard season as a pro this past year? We'll discuss that next. Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday continues in a moment right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Well, he's very physical and tough runner. You know, he can make something out of nothing, and, you know, his will, I think, is what shows up. So definitely have to have a tackling plan for him. A lot of guys to the ball, taking good angles.
And now Chris Ivory's in there on first down. They have been going with Steven River.
Ivory. Chris Ivory working the speed down the sideline, and he's out of bounds. Ferguson and Mangold, the veterans up front, creating space for Ivory. He's over 1,000 yards for the first time in his NFL career.
How's Gus Bradley talking about Chris Ivory? And, of course, the Jags did have a good tackling plan for him. 23 carries for 26 yards, 1.1 yards per rush when the Jets defeated the Jaguars earlier this football season. Chris Ivory did have his first 1,000-yard season as a pro, however. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Tony Smith here with you on 1010XL as we take a look at the impending signings of some of the Jaguar free agents, and that includes Chris Ivory coming down from the New York Jets. Rich Samini has covered the Jets for a long time, most recently with ESPN's NFL Nation coverage. Rich, good morning. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, $6 million a year has to be a little bit shocking, I would think, in terms of what you guys expected to get Chris Ivory to get on the open market. As we talked about with Mike Kliss, with Malik Jackson a moment ago, Rich, guys are going to get overpaid in free agency. So if we put the money aside, what kind of player, what kind of fit do you think Chris Ivory will be here in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think it's a good role fit for him. I'm assuming that, you know, they'll use him in tandem with T.J. Yeldon, so you got a good complementary skill set there with those two guys. Ivory, a punishing runner, always among the leaders in yards after contact in the league. You know, just breaks a lot of tackles. Deceptive speed. You know, if he can get around the corner, if he gets a little room, he's got some sneaky speed. Not really much of a pass receiver. He's worked on that to get better. He's not really the kind of guy you want to be throwing to a lot. Decent blocker. He's a good guy. Extremely quiet. You know, says very few words. But his personality on the field kind of belies his off the field demeanor, because on the field he is a loud player. Just with the amount of, I think he's hurt probably a half a dozen tackling defenders over the last 3 years just with his contact, a very physical player.
Chris Ivory had one 100-yard game over the last 11 weeks of the season. Was he fighting some nagging injuries, or did the team start loading up on the box against this Jets offense?
You know, that's a good point, because that's the thing with Chris, and it was his first 1,000-yard year on any level. I mean, we're talking high school, college, first time he broke 1,000, and he did run out of gas toward the end of the year. Teams were stacking the box a little bit, but I think that's overblown. I think the line has something to do with it as well, but I think Chris just really got tired. I mean, it was a career high for carries, and he just wore down. And the negative thing about Chris is that he will pick up these nagging injuries. Now, when you look at this, you know, he played 15 games last year, which you say, okay, you know, that's, you know, pretty durable guy. But there were times in games where he had to come out, you know, against New England, a huge game up in Foxborough. First carry of the game, he got hurt, and he went out, and he spent the rest of the game on the sideline trying to loosen up. There are going to be a couple of those games a year where he goes to the sideline with this mysterious injury, and it's either him not being able to get loose or a little nagging thing. So I think that frustrated the Jets a little bit.
One of the other big questions here in Jacksonville with T.J. Yeldon and whatever they got behind him is they need to find an answer in short yardage and goal line. How effective a player is Chris Ivory in those situations?
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's a good goal line back. I was telling my friends who were fantasy owners before last season, you got to draft Chris Ivory in the late, you know, the mid or later rounds. And sure enough, I think it was 7 or 8 touchdowns rushing, which was a career high. So he's good in those areas. He's, like I said, an extremely physical runner. He squares up with his pads. He is not afraid of contact. I remember one play, they were playing in London against Miami, and he just blew through Ndamukong Suh. I mean, he made him look bad, just blew through a tackle. And no questions about Chris's short yardage and goal line run.
Rich Samini here with us, ESPN's NFL Nation coverage of the New York Jets on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I don't think they're bringing Chris Ivory in to be a receiving specialist by any stretch, Rich, but he did have 30 receptions last year, and I know that wasn't his role in New York with Bilal Powell in that backfield, but in that capacity, is he serviceable?
Yeah, serviceable is okay. I think Chris takes offense to, he thinks he's been, you know, short-shrifted a little bit with his receiving ability. He's going to drop a few passes. He doesn't have great hands. He's worked hard on it. I think he's tried to become a better receiver. They had to use him in a third down capacity in the final game of the year last year against Buffalo, which they had to win to get in the playoffs, and of course they did not. Chris was banged up going in the game, and they just didn't trust him to be the every down back, so they made him the third down back. because Powell was injured, and that really threw the entire offense out of whack. So Chris is not really a third down player. He can be, but that's not the ideal role for him.
Rich, elsewhere with the Jets, what's your gut tell you on Fitzpatrick?
I think he'll be back. I think he's just playing the field, you know, shopping the Jets offer around, seeing if he can do better. I think he wants to be back. I think it's a perfect marriage. And, quarterback prices, as you guys know, tend to get out of hand a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I think the Jets really want him back unless the price, it just gets out of hand. Like, who else is going to offer him a chance to be an undisputed starter? And I think that's very appealing to Ryan.
Rich, you've mentioned a couple times how physical a runner Chris Ivory is. Is he one of these guys that is going to be less effective if he's put in a role where he's only asked to carry the ball 8 to 10 times a game? Is he somebody who needs 15 carries to really impose that physical will on opposing teams before you see him really get rolling?
Yeah, that's a fair question, but I think no. I think if you look back at his first 2 years with the Jets, he was not the number one back. In 2014, he basically split everything with Chris Johnson, even though Ivory was, to everybody's eyes, was the better player. They kept it a 50-50 split, and Chris was still effective. And the year before, he was splitting with Powell, and he was still effective. So I think he doesn't have to be getting the ball 18 to 20 times a game to be effective. In fact, the role they have, at least I'm envisioning for him there, splitting with Yeldon, is probably going to help Chris Ivory because it'll reduce some of the wear and tear, and it'll keep him fresher for the latter part of the season. Because like I said, he was running on fumes toward the end of last year.
All right, Rich, last one for you because we know you have to get running this morning. We appreciate the time. Damon Harrison, the nose tackle of the Jets, has been ranked as a top 20 free agent by a lot of lists out there. And the Jets, not exactly flush with salary cap room. Are they likely to lose him, or could you see him coming back?
I think it's probably a 60-40 chance they lose him. I know they really want to keep him. A very good first and second down run defender, you know, not really much of a pass rusher, but, he's still young. This will be his second contract, third, but last year was just a one-year deal. And so they definitely want to keep him, but he's got a lot of teams lined up, and I have a sense that maybe they're going to lose him.
All right, Rich Cimini, NFL Nation coverage with ESPN of the New York Jets here with us on 1010XL. Rich, appreciate the time, and we encourage folks to give you a follow on Twitter to keep up with the latest with the New York Jets, at Rich Cimini, C-I-M-I-N-I, just like it sounds. Rich, thanks for the time this morning, buddy.
That was great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. Rich Cimini from ESPN. And, guys, I think, look, I guess one way of looking at it, somebody texted and they said, hey, if you subtract the money that Gerhardt was making, is Ivory an upgrade? And I'm paraphrasing. Is Ivory an upgrade, and is the extra money worth the upgrade over Gerhardt? I don't think you have to look at it that way. That's one way you can look at it, certainly. It's not like they're flush with cap space. This is not going to wreck their plans to go after Olivier Vernon or anybody else, Ryan. But Dave Caldwell doesn't like to pay exceedingly more than he feels a guy is worth. The market bears that Malik Jackson was going to get a deal in the $15 million range, right? And because Denver couldn't afford to keep him around. He is a young guy. He fits the profile, mid-20s. Chris Ivory, it is a little bit surprising to me, the $6 million a year price tag.
Yeah, and what Rich said about how he wasn't a third down guy, that to me is interesting. I thought what they need from the running back position is they need better pass protection.
But didn't they rave about T.J. Yeldon in that capacity this year?
Certain people did. The stats bore out that he gave up 3.5 sacks. And, I think the one side of the organization praised him, and the coaching side says he's got to get a lot better. Because there was
so when you would say one side, you're talking about the general manager side, yes, of the organization.
Yeah.
Thought he did a good job.
Because he didn't do a lot of it at Alabama, so I'm trying to, what were they looking for in this back? Are they looking for a guy who can be a, workhorse first and second down guy, starter? Or were they looking for a guy who could play third down, catch the ball out of backfield? To me, it feels like they're looking for a starter.
I don't know. The money dictates it's kind of starter money. Mm-hmm. But I was – every time I heard the Jags get mentioned or speculated, could they go after Lamar Miller or Doug Martin, I never – it never made sense to me because You don't draft a guy at the top of the second round and 1 year later look to sign that type of player. Doug Martin was second in the league in rushing this year, and he's still in his mid-20s coming off his first contract, whereas Chris Ivory hasn't had the wear and tear of being a starter his entire career, but he is a little bit older. He does have a violent running style. Injuries have piled up on him, nagging type things, and I thought he would be more of a fit as a kind of a guy like, let's say, the first two drives are Yeldon's, the third drive is Ivory's, right? And then maybe, like you said, Tony, on goal line. But I heard Jeff Prosser say this morning, according to the metrics, Chris Ivory was the third worst short yardage runner in the National Football League last year. And number one was T.J. Yeldon, by the way. So I don't know. Based on those things, you would think his size, the violence in which he runs with, the power that he has, he should be a good short yardage back. And the Jags expressed, like a lot of teams do, but they did when Gus Bradley took over, they want to be a team that wants to be able to run the ball at you even when you know it's coming. And keep in mind, guys, if they think the defense is going to be a lot better this year, right, they're going to want to be closing out games in the fourth quarter with the ground game. The kind of runner Chris Ivory is the kind of runner that teams don't want to face in the fourth quarter of a football game. Agree or disagree?
I'll agree with that. It was a little puzzling signing.
The signing to me is not puzzling. The money is a little puzzling to me.
Yeah, but they may be looking at it. Look, they have T.J. Yeldon on a second-round contract right now, so they may be looking at we're spending $7 million on our running backs.
Very well could be.
And they're not seeing it as we're giving Chris Ivory six. They're seeing it as we're giving these guys
the
seven.
Running back position.
That's how much it's costing us to get our 1-2 punch.
Right, because what's Jonas Gray cost you? Nothing, right?
Right.
I mean, so, yeah, you're right. Maybe they do look at it
way. Is it an admission that drafting Yeldon was a mistake?
I don't know if it's a mistake, but I got to believe if
they knew they needed more out of the running back position. Because and it I think it's more of an indictment on what they had behind Yeldon. It's signing Gerhardt was a mistake. Denard Robinson never panned out to what they thought he could be, and they watched last year and had decided that they need two. However they're going to get to, they need to be effective running the football.
Well, we'll see when Chris Ivory gets in here over the next couple of days, and he and Dave Caldwell get to comment on it. What kind of role do you envision, and what were you told in discussions as far as that goes? So thanks to Rich Cimini and Mike Kliss before they had a comment before we go to break here.
Competition.
All right, there that's you go. Coming back with this date in football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues in a moment live from EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history, March 9th, 2016, the Jaguars signed all the players, all of them, anyone they wanted to. They lined them up and they signed them. I'm thinking ahead to next year's this date in football history, the day the Jags signed Malik Jackson and Chris Ivory and maybe Olivier Vernon, maybe some defensive back. But instead, I got some birthdays for you is what I got. 63, the year, Tony, when our buddy Sean Salisbury was born. Sean Unfiltered on Twitter. Go out and hop on there and wish him a happy birthday. Sean's had his ups and downs in his career, but I think he is an exceptionally honest guy, and I just like the guy. I think he's a phenomenal analyst, and if you get past some of the theatrical aspects of his presentation, I think Sean is spot on with a lot of what he has to say. He turns 53 years old today. Brian Bosworth, the Boz, was the number one pick in the 1987 supplemental draft by the Seattle Seahawks, despite the fact that he sent a letter to them saying, "Don't take me." He sent a letter to a bunch of teams saying, "Don't take me. I only want to play for the Raiders." Didn't work out for Brian Bosworth. Played just barely parts of three seasons before a shoulder injury ended his career. He is 51 years old today. 50 years old today is Lewis Oliver, the former Florida Gator, longtime Miami Dolphin defensive back, born in 1966, and 8 years spent here in Jacksonville as a long snapper. Happy 40th birthday to Joe Zelenka. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The Miami Dolphins have pulled the transition tag off of Olivier Vernon, making him a free agent. The Jaguars and New York Giants are the two teams that have been most often linked to the now free agent pass rushing free agent prize. Miami agreed to a two-year deal with pass rusher Mario Williams yesterday. The Dolphins, that trade that they pulled off yesterday as well, was in question this morning with Philadelphia, where it would be Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell. coming to Miami. There were questions about Maxwell's shoulder, but apparently those have been cleared. That trade will go through. It reportedly includes the two teams swapping their first-round pick. Philly will move up to 8, Miami back down to 13. The Giants are expected to sign cornerback Janoris Jenkins when free agency opens up today at 4 p.m. The contract reportedly at 5 years, $62.5 million. Free agent cornerback Sean Smith's market is expected to be similar to Jenkins, with Smith expected to be somewhere around $12 million a year. Oakland, the team most commonly linked to Smith, but there are reportedly three other teams talking to him right now. San Diego will sign former Cleveland wide receiver Travis Benjamin. Detroit, a day after Calvin Johnson officially announced his retirement, has landed Marvin Jones, who is considered the free agent prize at wide receiver this year. Bruce Irvin will go to the Oakland Raiders at 4 years, $37 million to the Oakland Raiders. Matt Hasselbeck has announced his retirement after 18 seasons in the National Football League. And one more nugget here. Ian Rappaport said an hour ago that if the Denver Broncos cannot get a deal done with Brock Osweiler, that they are expected to make a run at Colin Kaepernick.
Right team, wrong guy. Sorry. Speaking of the mic, nobody can hear you there over there. Mike Kliss did say a moment ago, by the way, that not much out there, but he did mention Kaepernick as an alternative for the Denver Broncos if they can't get Osweiler. Boy, isn't the fact that if you're not sure the guy's your quarterback, is he your quarterback? You know what I mean? Like, if he's your quarterback in the sense of not just that he plays on your roster, but if he is the guy you feel you're going to build the next era of your football team around, you make sure you get him signed, right? The Jets are in a situation with Fitzpatrick where they're letting him test the market. Maybe he'll go back. Maybe he won't. There aren't a lot of fallback opportunities if he doesn't, but he's not a guy that you're envisioning. I think he's like another year stopgap, and maybe do they get anything out of Bryce Petty eventually? Do they go to the well and draft the quarterback next year? But in this case, Osweiler is coming off his rookie deal, Ryan. He's right in that sweet spot. He's been in your system. It seems like a completely different type situation. And the fact that he's not done leads me to believe the Broncos have some question about whether he is truly their guy.
Yeah, and if you're the Broncos, do you look at the last couple of weeks and say, should they have worked harder to get Miller done? So to use the franchise tag on Osweiler, because even if he would have signed that for, what, $20 million,
yeah,
it's a one-year deal.
Half, something like that,
and
right.
And he probably would have signed it right away like Cousins. So, you know, they had to make some quick decisions, and I think the Miller thing is it's a complicated contract. But, you know, from Osweiler's standpoint, you look at, okay, what's the gamble on my part of starting over with another team if the money is a little bit different? So, you know, do you want to go to Houston and work for a guy that hasn't been able to figure out what he wants out of a quarterback?
I need significantly more guaranteed money to move if I'm Brock Osweiler. I mean, that's just the situation. You know the offense. You've got a championship-caliber defense. Even though you're going to lose a couple of guys, it looks like this offseason, you're still going to be among the contenders in the AFC.
Sure.
if you play your cards
and
right.
And is 7 games and feeling like you have a defense that may be ready to compete for a championship in Houston, is that enough to say we don't want to play the roulette that is the draft? That we've seen this guy a little bit in the league, and we feel good enough about what we've seen that we're willing to give him that much upfront money,
right,
to get him to Houston and feel like now we're ready to go. Like, we are now the team to beat in the AFC South if they find a quarterback.
I would rather, you know, for the short term, I'd rather bank on Brock Osweiler because these guys are certainly unknown. I mean, the upside, people talk about Carson Wentz like he's the next Andrew Luck or whatever, you know, in terms of his upside. But, you know, the Texans are not going to be in position to get him anyway. Mm-hmm. Do you bank on Christian Hackenberg? Do you overdraft him just because you coached him for 1 year at Penn State if you're Bill O'Brien? I don't know if that's the case.
Well, Brian reminds me of John Gruden, who just couldn't decide on a quarterback in Tampa until he found himself unemployed and on the Monday Night Football booth. So, I mean, it'd be humorous if Houston circles back on Fitzpatrick, who they just couldn't get rid of fast enough last year, to go with the Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett duo. So, you know, maybe the Texans have finally woken up, say, okay, we need somebody who's at least more than functional at quarterback because we can't just win with J.J. Watt getting 20 sacks.
Chris Morris on Twitter just asked this question. Okay, so we have cap space. So we signed Ivory, but TJ is in a burner. Where's the speed? Aren't these the same guys? I don't think they're the same guys, but I will agree that neither one of these guys is the pure breakaway threat that you might like to have, you know, as a compliment.
They still don't have a ton of that in the offense.
No.
They got some guys that are they're physical down the field, and Allen Robinson and Hearns is a really good possession receiver. Marquise Lee, we haven't seen on the field
but
enough.
But he's potentially
like,
that guy.
He's that athletic guy that they have in that group, but they don't have it in the backfield. They don't have it at wide receiver. I wonder at some point if they do feel like they need to address that a little
maybe,
bit.
Maybe.
Well, if you ask Dave Cole that question today or tomorrow, he'll say, well, we got Corey Grant. Disagree or agree. That's who they feel
they
is their burner.
Well, they do have that he does have great speed. And I'll say this, the lack of timed speed among the wide receivers didn't seem to hurt their yards per catch average. Right?
No.
I mean, what will hurt their yards per catch average is if Blake Bortles becomes more accurate and he starts completing some more short to intermediate throws, those numbers will come down a little bit. He hit a lot of those big plays over the top, and that'll bump the average up, obviously. All right. Here's something we discussed on the break a moment ago. Let's assume the Jags sign Olivier Vernon. We don't know that they will. We don't know that they'll have a competitive offer in there, okay? But let's say that they do. Let's say that they sign Olivier Vernon. They sign Malik Jackson. You've got Cedric Marks coming back at whatever stage he'll be in his recovery. You've got Dante Fowler Jr. ready to debut, okay? You've got Roy Miller, and you've got Jared Odrick. You've got Avery Jones, who you just re-signed. You've got Tyson Alualu. You've got Ryan Davis. There's a lot of guys now on the defensive line. Are they out of the mix for a guy like Joey Bosa at number five, Ryan?
I would think they have other needs at that point when they get to the draft. They don't look like they're going to spend a lot of money, if any, on a linebacker. You still don't know what their secondary is going to look like. So, I mean, it's one of those things where if Ramsey's gone and Dallas takes Miles Jack at four, the Jaguars may say, okay, if he's the best defensive player left,
right,
we'll take him and figure it out later.
Or does it all of a sudden maybe become Vernon Hargraves or somebody like that, the top-rated cornerback on the board, depending on what they do now in the next couple of days, obviously, as well.
Yeah, and Vernon, it would be fascinating to see when it gets down to it, do they think Vernon Hargraves is a physical fit for what they prefer in a corner? Because the eye test of Vernon is that he isn't.
Right.
If they keep signing guys, they're getting into the realm where they have a better problem in the draft, where they can maybe overdraft a guy to fill a need. Whereas before it was just like, we got like six or seven needs.
Don't you hate to do that though with the fifth pick in the draft?
Yeah.
Because you're in what should be rare athlete territory, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's the question with Bosa, with this team. If you're picking top five, you want an explosive difference maker, right? Mm-hmm. And Bosa's a hell of a good player. And I'm not trying to run him down by any stretch, but he is seen more as a strength/technician type guy, not the guy that's going to give you that eye-popping bend around the corner every single time. I'm not saying he's not worth the top five pick. I'm just wondering if you're going to spend this kind of money that we would project in this scenario, them spending on Olivier Vernon, they're going to expect that kind of guy, Olivier Vernon, to be that kind of guy, to give you constant pressure. The sack totals will fluctuate. I don't know if Bosa, in their eyes, is going to be that guy.
Well, the caveat with that in terms of who they draft is, it's rare to have a top five pick and acquire as much talent as they project to in free agency. So, a team usually has a lot of needs if they're in the top five. They probably haven't spent the amount of money the Jaguars are earmarking to acquire veteran players. So that maybe changes their plan a little bit.
Nobody's ever had this much money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most in NFL history as far as money going into free agency that the Jags have available to them. And honestly, I think if they got put in that situation, they would just take the best player available to them in the draft, unless they thought a quarterback was the best player. They're not going that direction.
What if they thought Ronnie Stanley was the best player? Notre Dame tackle.
Take him. Like if you're in that situation where you feel like the three defensive players that you really liked ahead of Stanley are gone, and say Tunsil's the other guy that's off the board, then take whoever you think is the best. And if that means moving Luke Jokel out of the way or pushing one of those guys inside the guard, if you haven't addressed that, I'm okay with that if it means that you're not reaching for a guy that you would think is outside of that tier of players because it happens to be a position where you feel like you need more help, potentially maybe a corner or linebacker or something like that. If they get put in that situation, take the best guy.
By the way, reporting out of Miami indicates that the trade will go through. Miami will acquire Byron Maxwell. I think he may be reworking his deal to know if Miami was saying, hey, you know what?
Do you want less or nothing?
We'd like to do this deal, right. And it's obvious Philly doesn't want to pay you the money that they signed you to play for last year. So, again, Byron Maxwell, who just got signed last year, Kiko Alonso, who just got traded for by Chip Kelly last year, traded to the Dolphins. And from what I can, the best I can gather online is that Philly will throw in the 13th pick in the draft, and they will receive back from Miami the 8th pick in the upcoming NFL draft. So basically, you get a starting cornerback and a potential starting linebacker for the cost of a 5-spot drop in round number one, and Philly gets to clear off a bunch of cap space and correct a couple of what they feel were mistakes that were made by them last season. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along with us. Now the decks are clear. If you'd like to get on board, we'd love to hear from you. 641-1010. Are you excited about what the Jags have done so far? Are you scratching your head over the Chris Ivory signing? Is it too much money? Is Malik Jackson making too much money? Did the Jags just sign a guy who's not going to flourish nearly as much without Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware taking a lot of the pressure off of him like they were out in Denver? Your thoughts on the Jags making moves on the first day and now the first official day of free agency coming up in under 5 hours, 4 o'clock this afternoon when guys will get the sign on the dotted line. And do you think they'll get Olivier Vernon done? I know a lot of people hope that they are pursuing him at this very moment. Your thoughts on the Jaguars free agency next. 641-1010, both on the phone lines and the text line. With Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union and Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Brittany Lawrence.
Where are you from?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You are not from Jacksonville, Florida.
But I like it. I like
Jacksonville. Jacksonville.
Like it's your hometown.
The Jaguars. Girl, you gotta get down with the boys
round here. Drinking that ice. I missed the shout out.
Brittany Lawrence. Put your headset on quicker.
Well, you were talking. Play it again,
Tyler. What are you talking about? Put your headset on. You never have your headset on. That's your problem. You don't play it again, Tyler. Brittany Lawrence got a shout out to
Jacksonville, Florida.
You just upset your keys.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You were not from Jacksonville, Florida.
But I like it. I like
Jacksonville.
It.
Like it's your hometown.
Jaguars.
Jaguars.
What a really shout out.
Go Jaguars.
He recognized that Jacksonville is the home of the Jaguars.
Congratulations.
That's Blake Shelton for you. Brilliant, as always. I was watching a lot of the political returns last night. I was not glued to all 2 hours of The Voice last night. Ryan Quinn's already winning the damn thing, so it doesn't matter. Sorry, Brittany, you can come in second. Nice job, I'm sure, last night by you. Let's go to the phone, 641-1010 for the first time today. Let's hear what you have to say about the Jags in free agency, what they've accomplished so far, signing Malik Jackson or agreeing to sign Malik Jackson and Chris Ivory, and what you hope to see them accomplish going forward. Chris and Mandarin going to lead us off this morning here on Jaguars Today. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, guys. How about yourself?
Great,
good.
Thanks.
Hey, everybody's wanting to talk about, that Olivier Vernon would be a big addition and that we should spend and go get him, even though we have the money, too. If he's going to be just a situational pass rusher, if we've got Fowler, Jackson, Mark, and Roy Miller starting, essentially we would be paying him, $10 to $15 million a year just to be a situational pass rusher when there's guys like Aldon Smith, William Hayes, Chris Long, Robert Ayers that could be just as good as a situational pass rusher for a lot less, and we could still go after a top corner like Sean Smith. Eric Weddle, something like that. I'll let you all go from there.
All right, Chris, I appreciate the call.
We're not touching Aldon Smith. Chris Long has been on the market for 2.5 weeks. Haven't seen any interest in him. Situational pass rusher is probably stretching what his role would be. I mean, he's going to play some regular down stuff, but he's going to be here to rush the quarterback, period.
Right, but I don't see Olivier Vernon only coming on the field on third down.
He's going to be out there 65-70% of the snaps. Which is first down work, second down work, third down work. So he's going to have – it's not like he's coming here to be a one-trick pony.
We were just talking about how – by the way, shut up.
What is going on over there?
How loud is this, man? It's unbelievable.
It sounds like there's a jackhammer outside the hallway.
Well, if you wanted to know, are they really working to renovate the club seating area? Now you know, okay? They are, and they're doing it directly above our head right now with half the ceiling tiles missing. because they busted a pipe or something and made it leak in the studio for the last couple of weeks. So pipe down with your jackhammer up there. What were we talking about? We're just talking about all on the break, all the different variety of combinations you could play. Let's say you sign Olivier Vernon, right? You have Dante Fowler play inside, right? Mm-hmm. On third down. You could have Fowler and Vernon both on the edges. You could have Marks and Malik Jackson. And you can play with these combinations, and you do rotate a lot of defensive linemen. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you're not playing Malik Jackson to play him a third of the snaps. You're paying him that money to play him a bunch. And like you say, if you're going to pay Olivier Vernon, it's not just going to be as a guy. A situational pass rusher to me is Ryan Davis. Mm-hmm. Ryan Davis is a guy that comes in on third and long, go get the quarterback. That's all you do. I think Olivier Vernon, a lot more would be expected of him.
And then one possibility is in a sub package, you have Vernon and Fowler coming off the same on the same side of the field. One maybe as a stand-up linebacker type, the other one, three-point stance defensive end. So, you know, when you gain talented players, it gives you more options to diversify the scheme, which these guys haven't been able to do the last couple of years.
All right, let's go to Jimmy and Nocatee next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
What's up?
I'm really stoked about the Eagles trade because it really helps our trade value go up, in my opinion. I mean, now if the Eagles do want to move up, instead of us going all the way to 13, we go to 8 if they decide to trade up for a quarterback. But I mean, I think Dave, if Miles Jack's not there nor Ramsey, I think that he does what he wants as far as moving up and down the draft or trading away, trading out. I don't see us just taking an offensive lineman. We need defense. We need defense bad. There are offensive linemen out there to be had to fill in the stop gaps. You know, hopefully better than Zane Beatles, obviously, but there are still so many more options. You know, we picked up a lot of really good pieces later in the free agency period. So, I mean, I'm not freaking out about that. I'm really stoked about the Eagles trade because I really think it helps us. And, I mean, in my opinion, I think Odrick becomes that odd man out, not in the sense of just him being out, but, I mean, you'd rather have Vernon Fowler on the other end. I mean, that's what you want. That's ideal. That's what the Jaguars are missing.
Well, I don't think the Jaguars are going to move from 5 because that's just not his MO. He's going to take the best player available. I think we talked last week, if there are quarterbacks on the board, teams are just going to wait till the next pick.
That's what I think, because San Fran's a team you need to get ahead of. At least you would think you need to get ahead of. And you don't move any further than you need to, which would be to 6 to get to Baltimore. I think they'd be open to move. I think Dave Caldwell's always open to move, and if you blow him away, the problem is you can't just say, well, those guys aren't there, let's move back. You got to have an offer. There has to be an offer, and an offer that he thinks is worthwhile to move back. Look, just because we're speculating about Bosa, for one thing, we don't know if they're going to sign Olivier Vernon, okay? We don't know how they truly feel about Bosa. And for all we know, they love the guy, and they think he's absolutely phenomenal, and they would be thinking they got the best player in the draft if they took him at 5, for all we know. We don't know that. And even if you sign all these guys, I don't think it completely wipes out the possibility that you add another defensive lineman. I mean, how many times do we have to hear it? You know, the more good pass rushers you have, the better off you are, because they're so few and far between that you can come by them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to Fan Cam next up here on 1010XL out in Jack's Beach. What's up, Fan Cam?
Well, the ribs are smoking, the cold ones are flowing, and the wings are warming up in the bullpen. How you doing, guys?
We're good. We got the jackhammer going here, too, so we'll bring that with us when we show up to the feast.
Well, it's an exciting day in Jacksonville, I'll tell you. I'll save a slab of ribs for you, Mike. When I
Excellent.
See you next. I mean, the first credit needs to go to the Jaguars for being patient in years 1 and 2, taking the flack for not spending money and positioning themselves to where they have these last 2 years to be able to have among the best free agency hauls in the history of the league. Last year it didn't pan out. They didn't have anything to sell. We were 2-14 with not a lot of confidence anywhere. This year is a different story. We have a couple spots on offense that we can entice those positional players to, like you saw with Ivory. You might see if that greatest offer sheet ever exhibited in the NFL comes to fruition and Mack ends up signing here. You're really well set to position the defense to catch up, and what an incentive to these guys to come and join that offense and make a push over the next 3 to 5 years. What do you guys think?
I disagree. All these guys that sign here, they're probably going to sign here because it was the highest offer on the table.
I would agree that money is the number one thing, but I don't think it hurts to have the feeling that the team is an attractive up-and-coming squad ready to break out.
The other thing is, I don't think they're up-and-coming either. So.
Well, that's you. I think you're, you know, like Mike Kliss said, hey, your offense is pretty damn exciting. And if you get a few more pieces on defense, that's the perspective from halfway across the country. I think you're in the minority. I think
you also thought that the Jags played a 3-4.
Well, that's fine, Ryan, but I'm telling you what the perception is. I think the feeling out there is that the Jags are an up-and-coming team. I think you are in the minority on that. You may be right, but I think you are in the minority in terms of how people feel about this football team. You know, that's just I hear it. I'm going to do a show on Sirius tonight. As a matter of fact, tune in on NFL Radio tonight at 11 o'clock. I'll do 3 hours with Kirk Morrison, the former Jaguar linebacker. We're going to talk nothing but free agency. And I talk to a lot of people nationally about this football team, and they're very excited about where they're headed. Again, you may be right. Your pessimism may be well-founded, but I don't think it's the majority opinion out there.
I think offense gets people excited. Honestly, I think that's the way it works around the NFL. Offense gets people excited, and the Jaguars look like they have something that could be really good on that side of the ball. They got a lot of questions to answer on defense. And Olivier Vernon is a guy that has come out and it's came from his own mouth. He wrote this down. Wherever the money is, that's where he's going. He's taking the most money he can get on the free agent market. That's where Olivier Vernon's going. I don't know how much he's even considering how good the team is, how good the situation is. Olivier Vernon has said he's going where the money is when he hits free agency. So the Jags have a lot of money to spend. Makes you feel like they should be in a pretty good position there.
Fan Camp, thank you for the call. Thank you for the ribs in advance. Let's go to Eric and Ponte Vedra next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good, good. I like the pickups that we have so far, although we still don't have a true defensive end. Also, if we have so much money, why didn't we go after the guy from the Ravens? We have the money to spend. We need to shore up our offensive line. Luke Jokel still is not there, no matter what anyone says. He's very slowly progressing, and we don't have time to wait on that guy. So we need to bolster that offensive line. And then secondly, if we did get Olivier Vernon, would we get rid of Odrick? I mean, he seems to show up and then not show up a lot of games. So there you have it.
Two different positions, Odrick and Vernon. And like the gospel we've been singing here is they want to stockpile defensive linemen. They want to add to the mix, not add and release from the mix.
Yeah, I don't think Odrick was bad last year. Odrick didn't come in to be a 12-sack guy. And Odrick had, what, 5.5 sacks, I think, last year, led the team, right? Which, if you had said, you know, that position in the defense – is going to produce 5.5-6 sacks. That's about what you would hope for, right? Isn't it, Ryan? I mean, that defensive end position is not the same as the guy that is playing as a Leo or whatever you want to call the designated pass rushers. It's more a point of attack position than anything, right?
Because on third down, then most of the time Jared moved inside. Well, then that's going to reduce your sack number anyways. So I think he got better as the year went on. And one thing I talked to Jared late in the year about is, everybody talks about players on offense adjusting to a new system. Is that underrated on defense? He says it's always going to be overlooked on defense because you don't have the ball. But there's a transition to every single thing you do with your technique and your role. And that's what Malik Jackson's going to have to do too. Maybe Todd Wash will hasten that as the coordinator. But as Todd Wash said about Odrick, he goes, from the game one to the game 16 tape, you wouldn't recognize the same player. So they feel he's going to even add to that. I think he's a good player.
I did too. I don't have an issue with Odrick's play last year. I think people look and he was the big high-priced guy on defense, and they expect sack numbers, and that's fine. And that, you know what, that's why we're here to have the discussion. As far as the summary goes on the offensive line, I would have loved if they went after him. I just feel that my impression is, Ryan, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the Jaguars brass has a higher regard for some of the linemen that they have on this roster than some of the public and media at large do.
Particularly Jokel.
Right.
You look at they're now getting into decisions on players that are their picks. That's going to
right. He's going to be up for a contract extension if they want to keep him around.
So they want to commit to him because they want that second overall pick to work out. You know, we'll see what they really think of him when they decide not to or pick up his option. But if it was a year from now, I think a guy like Osemele would have been in the mix if they were trying to find a new left tackle.
Right, if they were, because they still have Luke Joko under team control for two more years on his rookie deal. I don't think, look, again, I would have loved to have seen Osemele in here. And again, whatever the number is that the Jags had available when free agency started, because it fluctuated depending on who you listen to, between $80 and $90 million, that we understand you got to have money for your draft class. You got to set aside money, as we talked about yesterday, Tony, to sign contract extensions for some of these guys that are going to be coming up in the near future. So you want to roll some of that money into next year. So maybe in reality, they're looking at it as, all right, the amount we want to spend is $40 to $50 million, $40 to $45 million, something like that. Well, $15 million of that, and who knows how they structured it, by the way, with Malik Jackson, the average is $15 million a year. They could take a much bigger hit in year one because they have the cap space. So let's say it's just $15 million a year. Then you got Chris Ivory. Maybe that's $6 million. Maybe it's structured so it's less. We don't know. But that may be $20 million of the allocated money right there. You want to get a defensive back, right? Maybe you want to get Olivier Vernon, right? That could be another $15 million right there. All of a sudden, that, you know, it's not like you're going to run through $90 million, but again, you're not going to spend $90 million this offseason in free agency.
I mean, you look at how they were going to – I mean, me and Hayes, when we were doing this, we sort of looked at a pie of $50 million. Let's say they had 85 in cap space. We thought, okay, 50 for free agency. We weren't counting on six for the tailback. We were counting on six – or seven for the free safety.
We still get to see how that contract is structured, though. Yeah. But correct, we were not counting on six. But we were also, when you put that $50 million pie together, right, did that count Toby Gerhardt's contract as part of it?
No, because he wasn't officially released
right,
yet.
Right, so you're going to get, won't be a $6 million hit, it'll be a $3 million hit, or whatever it'll be.
So it's, you know, obviously we don't know their plan for sure, but what's going to fascinate me over the next 24 hours is what do they do at free safety, if anything. I mean, the Vernon thing, okay, that's, you know, too many, you know, everybody's talking about that. Let's look a little further. What is their plan at corner if they lose out on Sean Smith? What's their plan at free safety? Because none of those guys have been linked to anybody yet, and free safety and Leo for this defense are critical.
By the way, Peter Schrager of Fox Sports 1 just tweeted out that the Raiders are now the team to watch in the Sean Smith sweepstakes.
Oh, yeah. They've been the lead for a while with Sean Smith. That came in basically last night, but $12 million a year is the kind of number that they're talking about. That basically, they said the Raiders turned their attention to Smith as soon as they got Irvin in. And there's three other teams that were in on Smith, but the Raiders have been the front runner for a while there.
I didn't see the Jags really spending $12 million on Sean Smith. Not, you know, a guy who
Jenkins just got 12.5.
Right, but
basically,
Jenkins to me is a guy who's going to create more turnovers than Sean Smith based on their track record. I mean, Sean Smith is a good guy, and I heard him described this way, as a guy who gets to the spot, but when he gets here, he doesn't necessarily come up with the football, right? And so, you know, on a team that is in need of creating more turnovers on the back end of the defense, maybe he's not ideal. I'm not saying I wouldn't want him as an upgrade over what they have. I don't know if I want him at the cost of $12 million. When you've got some options, you can go, you know, you can draft a cornerback in the upcoming draft. There are lesser cornerbacks out there that would still be upgrades, I think, for this football team. So, hey, who knows? Who knows who they're working on? We didn't really hear much. Other than, you know, you had a feeling, Ryan, that they would be going after Malik Jackson, but you didn't hear the Jags working on a deal with Malik Jackson until it was done, right? So Dave Caldwell did a good job saying, all right, let's get this done before any of this leaks out. And then you heard, all right, Chris Ivory, it's done. So maybe we're not going to hear about X corner or X free safety until you say, well, the Jags are on the brink of signing X player. The good thing is, we've got about 4.5 hours to figure it out before some of these contracts actually get done. And hopefully, Olivier Vernon among them with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The fan feedback question of the day today asks you, in addition to Malik Jackson and Chris Ivory, who are coming in to get their deals done, who will the Jags bring in and land as free agents on the first day of free agency, that being today? We invited you to tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, and at Ryan O'Halloran, and also post your thoughts on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We'll look at some of the feedback coming up next on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with your plumbing, Metro Rooter will have the solution. Same-day service that includes the weekends. The right people with the right equipment is the reason Metro Rooter has been serving Jacksonville so well since 1978. Visit them online at MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. Coming up in a moment, we'll get to the fan feedback spotlight. In the meantime, I got another call or two on the line at 641-1010. Saqib checking in, typically our first caller on the postgame show every Sunday afternoon. What's up, Saqib? How are you?
What's up, Mike?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. This is the best day, right? Like, this is like, I've been waiting for this for, you know, for months now. And now that it's here, like, it's really good to see our name on ESPN, on NFL Network, that the Jaguars are going to spend money. And I just love it. Like, I can't wait to get some more guys in here and just get some more better so we can finally compete. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of all this 5-11 stuff. You know what I mean? I just want to win, and I just can't wait till we get some more players and get to winning. And Ivory, I think, I like the guy, but I just think it was a little bit too much money. So that's just my personal opinion. But
yeah,
I'm excited anyway.
All right, I appreciate it, Saqib. I don't think it's a crazy opinion by any stretch.
No.
I think that price tag surprised a lot of people. Bill Barnwell of ESPN did a column grading not the signings, because no one's signed officially. At least most of these guys haven't. Guys like Mario Williams were eligible to sign, but the pending signings, and they gave the Malik Jackson deal a B. You know, you overpaid him as well, and that's why. It's not that he's a bad player, but is he a $15 million a year, fourth highest paid defensive player on average in the NFL? Probably not. And then Chris Ivory at $6 million. I think, as I've said all along, I think Chris Ivory's the perfect complement to T.J. Yeldon. I'm just surprised he got as much as he did in the deal. But, you know, if you don't go on what any one individual is making, Tony, I think you have a good way of looking at it. Look at the running back pool. Here's how much you're going to make outside of Ivory, who's making any money in the running back pool now.
And look,
nobody.
It's the conversation we've had for the last couple months when we were talking about what was upcoming with the Jaguars in free agency. This is what they were going to have to pay to go get him. I don't know that you needed to pay $6 million to go get Chris Ivory. I have no idea what the market really was for Ivory or Miller or Doug Martin in Tampa. I don't know. I know they wanted to go get a second running back for this team. I know they were going to have to overspend. If they wanted to get Olivier Vernon or Malik Jackson, and they weren't the only team that was going to have to overspend, anybody that was going to sign these guys was going to have to overspend. The Jaguars knew it. They were in a position where they said they were willing to this offseason for the first time, and they've been true to that. They're willing to go overspend to bring in guys that they feel like could help them on the defensive side of the ball, which has been just awful for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and you know, we'll see what the price points are. I'm especially interested to see what they do at corner. You know, somebody's going to give Sean Smith a similar kind of deal that Jenkins got, which is, you know, blowing the market up. I'm also interested in the last 2 days, Weddle's camp is locked down. You haven't seen him connected to anybody. I would assume he signs quick. But so those are just more of the subplots waiting today.
What did Janoris Jenkins' deal average out to?
12.5.
It did average out to 12. He got 27 guaranteed. So it does seem Sean Smith's going to be in the Janoris Jenkins range. And if you want a guy like that, Prince Amukamara or somebody, you're going to have to pay somewhere in the double-digit millions per year, right? That's just the price of doing business at that position. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships was this. In addition to Malik Jackson and Chris Ivory, who do you think the Jaguars will land on the first day of free agency? On Facebook, Tony, got Pete saying, Olivier Vernon, I would drop some dope money, give Miami a second-round pick. Why?
No, you don't have to give Miami anything.
They don't have to give them anything. And even under the transition tag, you didn't have to give them anything. They just had the right to match the deal.
Right.
There's no compensation that needs to go to Miami. It all goes to Olivier Vernon. So hang on to your draft picks there. He says, I'm also looking at Weddle Jenkins. He's off the board now. Or even Alex Mack, hashtag Jaguars today. Maurice said Vernon, Sean Smith, or Casey Hayward. And Jeff Allen, you made the case for Casey Hayward being truly a nickel corner.
He's a slot corner.
A slot corner, right.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Inside slot corner and... that's not really what we think the Jags are looking for. You agree, right? They're looking for an outside guy. Cameron said Prince Amukamara Tayshaun Gibson or Eric Weddle.
Gibson's somebody they liked 2 years ago when he was a restricted free agent. Cleveland decided to retain him.
And
he's around the ball.
2 years ago, he had a very good year. This year, he graded out very poorly. But he did.
I read that metric.
Well,
this is what it said. It said that Cleveland's corners were so bad is that teams just threw him around the perimeter. So he wasn't in position a lot of the time to get pass breakups.
Yes, yeah. Hayden had a miserable year.
He really did.
Yeah,
for a guy whose jersey sells among the best in the league.
So they defended their metric, saying, okay, the numbers look bad, but he wasn't as bad as that.
Okay, not as bad as the numbers. Like, certainly the age factor would make him more of a Dave Caldwell signing than an Eric Weddle guy would be, or that age guy would be. Lance Owen said Weddle, Tayshaun, or Vernon, any two of the three would be my choices. Then either draft Ramsey or Jack at five. Let's hope at least one of those guys is available at five, the way things are trending right now. Everybody else pretty much includes Olivier Vernon on there. Alex Mack gets a few mentions. Bruce Irvin off the board. Doug, he's going to Oakland, and that pretty much covers the Facebook side. What did we get on Twitter?
From Nick, Vernon, hopefully a guard/center as well. From Mike, Vernon, Sean Smith, Tayshaun Gibson, hashtag got money, get paid. From Eric, still needs secondary help, so Sean Smith. I really don't know, but Vernon for sure now. From Daniel, the Jags will get Vernon. I see a cornerback and or safety as well, but no specific names. From Frank, Olivier Vernon, pretty pleased, DC. From John, hopefully Vernon today. From Brandon, would love to see Olivier, but thinks Nelson should make a comeback in Jacksonville. And from Chef Jags, Vernon, a guard and possibly a safety.
All right, let's get to the phones again before we close up shop today. DJ is on the south side, and now he's on Jaguars Today. Good morning, DJ.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
I think Ivory wasn't a bad pick. I think he can help out Jacksonville offense if they could shore up that offensive line. But what I don't think they should do is get Joey Bosa, because he reminds me too much of a Mike Mamula kind of Jeff Lagerman kind of guy. I'm not sure he can do it.
Way, I mean,
he's a good player, but not a great player. I don't think he's great. He ain't no J.J. Watt, I can tell you that.
Okay, that's fine. No, I don't think anybody suggested he is J.J. Watt, for that matter. He just may be the best of this particular crop this year.
I think the comparison I've heard with Bosa that I like the most is Justin Tuck. I think he's more that type of guy, where there may be times when he does get after the passer, but he's this big body guy.
Incredibly strong.
Really strong guy who's going to help you in the run game, which is why he would be playing more on that left side of the defensive line for the Jags, maybe even that left end position that Audric's in right now if they drafted him here in Jacksonville, and gives you a little more pass rush than you've probably seen out of Audric from that spot as well. He's not, to stay with the Giants metaphor, and I've heard T-Wig use this too, he's not Strahan. Where Strahan was just that he's going after the quarterback, he's great at it, he's dominant in the league at doing that. I don't know that Bosa's that guy, but I do think he's that other complimentary guy. He's that Tuck guy who can get after the passer but does other things really well.
And I don't know if that's worth the fifth pick in the draft.
I don't know either.
And again, I'm not a film watcher. I'm not going to break down the film and grade Joey Bosa and tell you he is going to compare to this or that, or he's going to give you, you know, his first step is this or that. I don't. If the Jags grade him out and feel like he's not an explosive edge player who is going to be providing quarterback pressure consistently, whether it's the huge sack totals or not, Ryan, it's the pressure. If you're drafting a defensive end with the fifth pick in the draft, you better bring pressure down in, down out, right?
The speculation and about this fifth pick and how it could be a lot of different guys and you may have to reach all comes back to one thing: Josh Norman.
Insane. You are all over Norman.
And you're just incredible.
It's a great bit.
You're crazy. I'm glad you think so.
But so
at least someone does. Honestly, Josh Norman, good player. Very good player, right? But I'm not giving up two first-round picks for him and that contract. If Janoris Jenkins is getting 12.5 on average and Sean Smith's getting 12, What would Josh Norman command?
I'd say 5 years, $100 million, fully guaranteed at signing.
Right. So $20 million a year, and your fifth pick in the draft, and next year, as you said, the 32nd pick in the first round. of the draft. If it'd be worth it if you knew
that
he was the guy
that
would get you a Super Bowl.
Come on down.
Come on down, right? I would be all about that as well. Well, the fun will really begin at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
In all seriousness, the best case scenario has been, and I think will continue to be, as long as Jalen Ramsey's at 5.
It may be. Right. We're Miles Jack guys right here. But either one of those two, I think, would be a very good scenario for the Jacksonville
Jaguars. Just
have
one of them there.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And right now I'm worried that neither one will be. I think I can very easily see it being San Diego-Dallas back-to-back picks right there with Ramsey and Jack. By the way, Dallas did re-sign Rolando McClain, but it's only a one-year, $5 million deal. They haven't committed to him long-term, so I think they're still in the market for Miles Jack, potentially, when the draft rolls around. They could take Joey Bosa and leave us Miles Jack at this point in time. Of course, let's get Olivier Vernon in the fold today. We'll find out. It's going to be a fun next 4 hours or so to watch and listen to the rumor mill as it churns, and you'll hear all of it right here first on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. That does it for us today. Hopefully, Tony, as the week goes on and they get some of these guys signed and into Jacksonville, we'll be able to introduce them to you on the airwaves here on Jaguars today. Looking forward to that. Hopefully, they'll at least pause the jackhammer during that portion of the broadcast.
Shut that jackhammer off. We're sending Malik Jackson up there to kick your
ass. The jackhammer's been down for about 20 minutes. I cranked that bad boy back up at about 12:15 today and have at it. So that'll do it for us today. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, for Ryan O'Halloran, what do you have coming up in the TU over the next couple of days?
Stuff.
You
know, once we get names announced, and we'll start our analysis of, okay, what does this mean? You know, once we get to talk to these guys, okay, who did you miss out on? And a key thing that I'll ask Dave is, okay, all these running backs are out there, regardless of the money, because everybody pretty much got the same. What separated Ivory from these other guys?
As a fit here. Yeah, gotcha. All right, Ron O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. That does it for us. I'm Mike Dempsey. We sign off. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. Thanks to Mike Kliss of 9 News in Denver and Rich Samini covering the Jets for ESPN's NFL Nation, weighing in on Malik Jackson and Chris Ivory today. Have fun. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!